Okay, here we go once again. 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time, Monday to Friday. Stefan Maillet with you. AddedSouls.com is the website. AddedSouls@gmail.com is the address. I labor with the Riverview Church of Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada, 365 Pine Glen Road. By all means, reach out to us if you seek studies. We'd be more than happy to accommodate that for you in this untapped mission field. Digital Jericho, a tasty light. Digital Jericho, a tasty light. Sermons I once preached several years ago, I brought up from my binder and gonna share with you again this day, because it's always good to be reminded of certain things from the Bible, and we should just do that. Is that okay? That work out for you? I hope so. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're finding yourself encouraged. And if not, well, stick around. Maybe this message will help you out a bit. That okay? Please get involved this very day. If you can, reach out to us and partake in this mission. It is well worthy of it. We got all the numbers. Everything's transparent. And you get to see how fruitful our work has been here through His grace. Okay? Give a thumbs up, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, emojis, heart emojis, care emojis, give a comment, share the link, all that kind of good stuff. It's free to do so, and it helps this here go further and farther. Digital Jericho, I put together through the scriptures of Joshua chapter 5. The captain of the host of the Lord appears before Joshua in order to transmit a message of tactical warfare, a command of divine authority which would conclude in victory if strict instructions are indeed followed. God wrote a book. The preacher receives the instructions and proclaims the message to the people so that obedience takes place. Good obedience to a loving God. Now, of course, it is my study that this captain, quote-unquote captain, is the Christ, the second person of the Godhead, which also appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, quoting, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." Now, that study's for another day. We move forward in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I encourage you all to read that for yourselves, of course. I'm just going to give you the running commentary and study sermon that I proclaimed years ago. So as we move forward in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, of course, a great and powerful wall surrounds the city, right? And there's no way in or out, just can't happen. Well, God says He's going to deliver it into their hands. And so, verses 3, 4, and 5, orders are given, formulated, calculated, specifically patterned and designed, inspired instruction is commanded, the word of God has spoken, and Joshua is not to add or remove from it in any way, shape, or form, but rather is to deliver it as spoken. And so, in verses 6 through 20, of Joshua chapter 6, orders are proclaimed to the people by Joshua, the preacher of the day, and the importance to keep the word of God in the affairs is delivered. It is delivered. Included in Joshua's preaching was the instruction that no, quote, shout was to be made before what had been commanded was fulfilled, was obeyed. Only once Joshua gave the green light, if we so commonly slang, would they be allowed to, quote, shout. And the wall would fall. The wall would fall. So here's a question to us. Do we shout victory before the enemy is conquered? I recently watched a viral video on the internet called, quote, "Don't celebrate before the finish line," right? This had all sorts of people in all sorts of various sports celebrating before the victory, only to be met with a loss. Now, the problem with the false religious world of Christendom, is that they claim salvation even before putting on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3:26 and 27, before even being buried with Christ, Romans 6:3 and 4, before even being added to the church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. They claim victory, they claim the title of Christianity, even before understanding and obeying the authority of Christ, the uniqueness of his church, and the purpose of baptism. And so it is that the problem with many of us Christians is that we kick up our feet and become apathetic for those of us who have obeyed the gospel. We kick up our feet and become apathetic, idle, vain, and unproductive as citizens of the kingdom. And sadly, those who should be paying attention to this message aren't going to do so, and those of us who are productive are going to do so and have comfort and encouragement. So the problem with many of us Christians is that we kick up our feet and become apathetic, idle, vain, and unproductive as citizens of the kingdom. We do this because we think we've reached paradise already. And though paradise is an assurance for all faithful members of the body, our time of eternal rest from our labors should not end prematurely. If we, quote, shout before completing our obedience, no wall will fall. And so it is that deity delivers a message to Joshua, and Joshua in turn delivers the message to the people, and the people obey, the wall falls. We see obedience, faith, and action as an outward public display producing the desired effect, which is conquering the enemy's defense. And all of that, or in all of this, was made possible because of their willingness to follow instructions as a united body of believers. And not only had the wall fallen as a result, pay attention now, it had fallen forward, above the normal. What a powerful experience and accomplishment. And so what about us today, again? What principle can we learn? Well, it might seem like the minds of people these days are impenetrable, right? Surrounded by a wall of defiance. And at times we Christians too build a wall around our hearts. And yet even the grandest fortification cannot stand when the power of God is obeyed through the agency of his faithful followers. And so, when we go into spiritual battles, do we bring the Word of God? Do we know the Word of God? Will we add or remove from it? God forbid. For us today, under the New Testament law, we are commanded to, quote, go, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And Paul the Apostle gave us the right frame of mind in which we must go when he declared, I've become all things to all men so that I might save some. Paul saying, if I need to learn how to use a computer and knock digital doors so as to save some, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. Exactly what we're going to do. And that's what we've been doing. In this community, reaching the inner household minds, souls, through the digital platform. Right? Numbers? Man, oh man. I think we have a record reach number of 7.8 million people reached Results? Well, of course, results. Christians, listen. Pay attention. The digital field is a place we must go. And we can conquer this city, this digital Jericho. Here's one way we're going to do it. Every day we produce gospel content on our platforms, every platform imaginable, right? Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, wherever, it don't matter, everywhere's. We go live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. We also go live in various other time frames and locations. Let us like, share, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, do all of those things individually and collectively as we are united as a team. We'll reach numbers of the like which will surpass all expectations. The walls will fall forward, giving us the opportunity to reach the faithless, renew the fallen, and reinforce the faithful. The purpose is to save some. You understand that? Save some. Now, would you like to be part of this mission? It's very simple. There's only one area in which you can be victorious in these efforts, and that is to be in Christ. To be in Christ, to be productive citizens of His kingdom. And nowhere else can we be found productive but as members of His body. And that brings us to a tasty light found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following. Salt is considered precious and valuable, right? A preservative and disinfectant. A tasty way of seasoning. It has worth and is sought out. It had and has many useful properties. You want to cook some steak? Add some salt. What about some? You making some soup? Add some salt. Oh, you scrambling eggs, are you? Add some salt. Salt does something amazing to the food we are about to consume. Would you not agree? It changes its taste from mediocre, meh, to yummy. It does that. It has the power, it has the agent to change what is mediocre and bland to now what is very tasty and yummy. Salt. So what does salt do? Well, salt changes the taste from tasteless to tasty. And if we're going to bring down digital walls, and if we're going to reach people's minds and hearts, we need to go from being tasteless to being tasty. No taste, no change. Useless, bland, weak, not desirable. No taste, no change. If you're not tasty, you're never going to be productive as a citizen of His kingdom. Now, I like steak, I like soup, and I like eggs. And I'll eat them. But I much more prefer them. I'm much more attracted to the aroma and taste of this nourishment if it's been seasoned properly. But we all know if you put too much salt on there, man, it'll drain your mouth dry. So you got to be seasoned, balanced, fair. You know, Job is recorded saying in Job chapter 6, verse 6, section A, quote, "Can something tasteless be eaten without salt?" Well, Job's friends were quite tasteless, weren't they? They were no help at all. So Jesus speaking to large crowds in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, being salted by the gospel meant to sacrifice self in order to evangelize. Are we being evangelistic? Are we proclaiming the truth, or are we hiding the good news of Christ under a bushel? Love him more than our blood relatives, family members. If we don't, we become tasteless. Remember, we must change. Change makes what is tasteless to tasty. Follow him regardless of the persecution we will receive. If we don't, we become tasteless and no wall will fall. It takes change. Change your mind. Count the cost of repentance. Change. If we don't, we become tasteless. If we have no taste, we are useless. And we will be trampled over. Tasty. Change. In order to bring down the walls. Useful, flavored, pleasant, and desirable. The idea behind the teaching of our Master is that of bringing new people into the kingdom through change, repentance. Without change, nothing fruitful comes. It makes sense that our Master's opening recorded words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 4:17. The goal is to influence the world with the gospel so as to dismantle the Jericho walls that we spiritually find in our current day and age. Now, of course, we're learning that in patterned practical application through the teaching of our Master in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following, and in verses 14, 15, and 16, being the light of the world means we are supposed to illuminate it. We've changed from darkness to light, right? From tasteless to tasty. If we don't change, we have no taste. We don't shine. We have no direction in life, no light to lead us. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. You'll get to see where you're going in life, and you'll get to plan for the goal. Store up heavenly wealth and prioritize appropriately. A Christian's light is public. It's transparent. It's visible. It doesn't secretly hide in the darkness. It shines and it's supposed to be visible so as to attract people to it. Well, to what? Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, resurrection, witness, and ascension of the Christ, the authority of the Messiah, the uniqueness of his church, and the purpose of baptism. Why? So we change from tasteless to tasty, from an immoral community to a moral community. Isn't that wonderful? Do we hide our lights at times because of shame or fear of persecution? I dare say, sadly, a great many occurrence in Christianity has been witnessed throughout these years. If the world sees us evangelize, sharing, proclaiming Jesus Christ, this glorifies our Father in heaven. All right? And we will certainly bring down the walls. In verse 17 of Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus did not come to contradict the scriptures. And so in effect, nor are we going to contradict the scriptures. We are not to do that. No, sir. But to abide by them and fulfill them. Jesus is basically saying, if you guys refuse to study and understand the Old Testament, you'll also refuse to study and understand me and the teaching I bring, a coming covenant, a new testament. And that's something. Do we find ourselves guilty at times of not studying the Old Testament? Not understanding the Old Testament hinders us from properly appreciating this verse and all else found in the teachings of Christ found within the pages of the New Testament, to which he said, of course, in Matthew chapter 28, all things must be observed and taught. All that he taught us must be learnt and practiced. The scribes and Pharisees claimed to know the Old Testament, but their hearts and minds were so far from God that they completely missed the mark. They could tell the weather, but they couldn't even recognize the Messiah standing in front of them. And that's sad. Same thing today. Same thing today. Religious believers today, you open up the scriptures, you show them a Bible verse. Can't see that. You hypocrites, he would say. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky? But why do you not analyze this present time? Luke chapter 15, verse 56. The covenant has changed from old to new. Jesus fulfilled the old, but has brought the new. And if we're going to bring down these walls, these challenging walls, then, dear friends, we need to become tasty. In verse 18, the law will cease to be in effect once Jesus has accomplished the law, fulfilled the prophets, if you will, right? These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, the scriptures, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but this has taken place. Why? To fulfill the scriptures. Mark chapter 14, verse 49. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The scriptures are fulfilled through Christ. We must obey the fulfilled word of God. Evangelize, evangelize, evangelize. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. In verse 19, the Sermon on the Mount feeds this very pivotal moment in his teaching. The scribes and Pharisees and followers, of course, like to lessen God's law so that they think they'd had obeyed them. By doing this, they thought they had some sort of righteousness before God. They'd lower the high requirement of God's law so that they'd feel good about their, quote, faith. Well, you can't be productive as a legal citizen of the kingdom doing that. Do we find ourselves this very hour, this very day, doing the same? Lowering the standards to a level we feel comfortable obeying? We certainly do that. We create Christianity in our own image, and in our own image, we dumb down the standard of God. Oh, I won't get completely drunk, but I'll have a few drinks. No, I won't drop my paycheck on the races, but I'll certainly buy a few scratch tickets. No, I won't watch pornography. No. But 50 Shades of Grey is fair game. I won't beat up any of my brethren, physically assault them. No, I wouldn't do that. But I'll certainly gossip behind their back. I'll sleep through the sermon on Sundays, but I'll make up for it by giving enough money in the offering to ease my conscience. I'll never seek to publicly proclaim Jesus with friends, neighbors, family, coworkers. No. But I'll certainly sing with a lot of passion on Sunday worship to make up for it. Now, I know most of us are guilty of these things. Not according to me, of course, but rather according to the numbers God continues to promote throughout his Bible. Most of his people will not make it to heaven. It's just an objective, absolute, spiritual fact of Scripture. This verse is not saying that those of us who do less still make it to heaven. Those who just punch the card a few times a week. No, sir. No, ma'am. The scribes and Pharisees were way off. And sadly, many in the Lord's church today are way off also. They've withdrawn themselves from His wonderful, loving, united, peaceful, forgiving grace. Why? Because they've dumbed down the standards and they've created Christianity in their own image. And in their own image, it satisfies their own selfish desires. And they never bring down any walls. Nope, the wall's going to stay up. They aren't going to conquer anything. Hence, verse 20, we must be totally devoted to Christ and His teachings, the Scriptures. We must have a sense of doing what is right, accompanied with the right spirit, words we say, and mind, way we think and live. And my dear friends, that is the digital Jericho. That is the tasty light in which we have been called out to practice. We have to go to them. And in our day and age, going is certainly available through the digital platform. It might not be tomorrow, but it is today. It is today. We go live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. AddedSouls.com. We randomly go live on various other occasions as well. We do not become rude or belligerent, but we certainly hold fast our convictions, scripturally speaking, and we proclaim the good news. This world is dying, it's been dying, and it's dying double time fast. Tomorrow the sky opens and the trumpets sound. The great and terrible day of the Lord, the highest court will be in session. But today we fight for what's right. Today we practice our Christianity, strong and free. Let us take back our country so as to live in peace with our fellow neighbors, proclaiming the good news of Christ without fear of execution. It is a blessing we should warmly receive and thank God for. Today we live, tomorrow we depart. Be wise. We can bring down these walls in the hearts of men, but we must proclaim the truth. We must be tasty. Isn't that good? Our friends are with us, of course, Joe Zoki, Agnes, Lolita, Anita, Nikea, Brandon's with us, Anik, Cheryl's with us, Bernice, Anthony, Tammy, let me see here, Cindy, Marilyn, Marcy, Sonia, Beverly's with us. Excellent stuff. I appreciate your comments a great deal. They are encouraging. We're all in this together. Please share this link. Give out some comments, emojis, whatever we got to do. We stream currently live on three places simultaneously. Two of our Facebook pages, the Acts 247 page and the Riverview page, and also our YouTube channel, which bears my name. Isn't that good? Friends, listen, for all of you out there who are listening, who are faithful members of the church, if you're seeking to partake in a very urgent, most necessary mission field, you need to get involved with us over here on the East Coast of Canada. The Maritimes has 2.some million individuals. One faithful congregation, two trained gospel preachers. We're here together and we're working together, but we are way far off on our financial goal. It operates as an expedient to keep the Maillet family here working in this community, the Brewer family working here with us. No amount is too little or too large. The socio-political atmosphere of our current culture in this land makes it very difficult financially. Because of socialism, everything is most expensive. The value of our Canadian dollar is very low. And so it cost us approximately $6,000 per family to survive. We're not buying Cadillacs and private jets over here. We're just buying bacon, milk, bread, butter. If you find value in this, my dear friends, the opportunity is sent your way. You can support us digitally, and we pray you do so now. Patreon.com/AddedSouls. Subscribestar.com/AddedSouls. Or PayPal donations through our email address, addedsouls@gmail.com. You can also send us a mail through the traditional channel, mailing us at Church of Christ, 365 Pine Glen Road, Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada, E1B4J8. We're building studios to produce content in this community. We're writing books. We want to build a Bible school. We're growing in the congregation. And our goal is certainly to grow in such a way as to have elders and deacons one day, and to be self-independently, financially sustained. But in locations like this, those things can take decades. And through the expediency of our purpose in life, if you have compassion to partake, then you can do so this very day. It don't matter if it's $1 or $100 or $1,000. It all goes towards the gospel and keeping the good news here rightly handled and proclaimed. Please get involved this day. And if you cannot, the very least you could do is share with brethren or congregations or elders that can. Stay focused and stay positive. You are greatly appreciated, all of you who pray and support already. We love you, and this is how we show our love. We share the Bible with you. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. Be mindful of your surroundings. Be self-controlled. Be slow to speak. Be wise in your thoughts. And Lord willing, we'll see each other again Monday, 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. Sounds good? Is that all right? Peace out.